And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Donna Dort. This is Lou Dort and I'm Donna Dunk. This is Lou Dort and I'm Donna Dort.
I'm Josh Giddey and I'm down to dunk.
Hey, this is Kenny Hussle and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Darius Baisley and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala and I'm down to dunk.
This is Poku and I'm down to dunk.
I love cereal. Captain Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh, I can have these? I'm going to share with my team, but I'm going to hog most of them.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as never on a Thursday night, we've got Jay Smith.
It's Jay.
And we've got Tayshawn.
It's Tayshawn.
And the Thunder opened free agency with a brand new deal for our guy Lou Dort, as first reported by Adrian Wojnarowski.
Oh, Jay likes it.
His tweet reads, "Free agent G. Lou Dort has agreed to a five-year deal, $87.5 million deal to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder." His agent, Thad Foucher of Wasserman, tells ESPN. So, initial thoughts whenever you heard this news come through, Jamon.
Yeah, I think that number one is I'm terrible at remembering, like, all right, so it seemed like a lot of money. And then I start going back in comparison. He's making more than a few other guys that you're like, is he worth more than that? Obviously, people make this Marcus Smart comparison. I don't really give a crap about any of that, to be honest with you, because it's not like this is going to make it to where the team is stuck. In 5 years, if you look just over the last few weeks, we started to see how the salary cap is continuing to expand. Yeah. I think if you look at this contract in 5 years or 4 years, if it's something where they're going to be able to, you know, if they're going to look to move it in his fifth year or whatever, is if you look at all of that, I do think that, sorry, my volume apparently is low. Can you all hear me fine? People in the chat are yelling at me.
I can hear you all right.
All right, okay. But what I was saying is,
turn up their computers.
Yeah, turn up your computers. But what I was saying is, in 5 years, like, you could look at a $17 million contract for a guy like Dort, who I do think he's still a good, like, I think he's good. And it will not, $17.5 million in 4 years or 5 years is not going to feel as insane as it does today. That's almost always what happens. Not even to mention the fact that the salary cap went up, but it looks at, and I can't remember what the name of this statistic was, but the amount of money that the NBA made over the course of the last year was the most, like, in the history of the organization, right? It's not going to go downward if they've come out of the last 2 years and are still such an incredibly profitable sport. And so for me, it's not a big deal, and it's also not my money. So get your money, Lou. Like, I freaking love it. He's been massively underpaid for the time he's been in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he earned this, you know? So let's go. Why not?
And like, also,
I really don't care. What does it hurt the Thunder to pay him $17.5 million? How does it hurt the Thunder? Tell me.
That's what I'm saying. I have two things. One, 17.5, is that even like that crazy sounding right now?
It's below the level of an average starter at this point. So I think Lou is a starter. I've always kind of thought that. And so if he is a starter and a guy like that we've seen play in the playoffs and play well, defends at a really high level. And the thing is that, man, you need point of attack defenders. You see it in the playoffs. You see the kind of players that are in the Western Conference. It's going to be tough. When the Thunder are ready to go, it's going to be tough. And you need somebody that can play physical and can guard guys like John Morant. And the thing is, like, everybody's like, well, maybe he can't guard John Morant because blah, 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 screens. Okay, I understand. The thing is, no one's guarding John Morant. But all you want is somebody that's going to make his life harder. You know, he's still going to score 30, but you want it on 25 shots.
You just saw it in the finals against Jason Tatum. Yeah. Right? No one's going to guard Jason Tatum. But they made it really hard. There were probably three games out of that final series that really made a huge difference because they just put so much pressure on Tatum and he couldn't pull it out the way that he normally does.
Well, GP2, what he did for the Warriors is what Dort will do for the Thunder, but Dort's a much better player. Like a much better offensive player, a much better defensive player, and he's so much younger too. I mean, Dort's 23. The thing about this deal, it's 5 years. We don't know the details yet. I know Spotrac put it out there, but I don't think that I don't know that that is all accurate. However, this deal takes him through his prime, you know, which is a big deal. To have a young player locked up through his prime is huge, and at a tradable contract. I mean, I would liken it a lot to the deal that they gave Victor Oladipo. You know, Vic made more because he was the number two pick in the draft, and he just had a better pedigree and is a better player than Lou is. But you compare it to the deal that he got back then, it's like $20 million per back then, $17 million now. It would probably look like maybe 12 to 14 or whatever back then. It's similar to the kind of deal they gave to Lou in that it's a guy they really like, he's young, and they could turn around and trade him next year on this contract easily. So I don't think that there's a downside to it, honestly. I'm interested to see what the details are. And if it is just a straight up 5-year deal, if there's options, I think that those, you know, will be released at some point. I think that those kind of details will be interesting to see, because it will kind of like determine a little bit more about the contract. But, you know, you look at Jalen Brunson, and I'm not saying that like Dort's going to be as good as Jalen Brunson was this past year, but Jalen Brunson got to restricted free agency, was not super happy with how things went in Dallas. Excuse me. And he's gone. He's making a ton of money. If they would have just locked him up last summer, like they could have, like Thunder did with Dort, he's probably in Dallas still at a number that looks like Dort's, you know? And now he's making close to the max, and he's in New York. I mean, this is why you do that deal. If only to, not only I think they want Dort as the player, I think that's important. I think he's important to the fabric of the team. But also, just to keep the asset. Because if you're the Mavericks and you lose him, you also lose that salary spot when you're already kind of in trouble trying to make this team. It's just really important, and it's not so important for the Thunder to hold the salary slot, but it is important for them to keep a player of Dort's caliber, for sure.
Yeah, and Jay brought up a point that I'm glad that we make every time this happens, which is like, it's not our money. Why do we care so much about it?
It's not our money.
And if you think about this team right now, it's like, who's going to get paid in the next, let's just say 3 years? Shea and probably Giddey at the
Giddey
end
eventually.
Of that.
Chet.
Giddey eventually. But will Chet be even in the, maybe that in 3 years from now? Oh. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
We got a while. He hadn't even started.
Yeah,
his
we
deal.
Have a while. Like,
he hadn't
who's
even signed his deal
paid?
Yet, actually.
So what does it matter? Who cares what Dort's making the next like 4 years?
Okay, here's some players that make more money than Dort next year on his, even on his $17.5 million. Buddy Hield. Would you rather have Buddy Hield or Dort? It's probably
what's
debatable.
Buddy's
Buddy doesn't play defense.
Yeah, Dort.
Great three-point shooter.
God, I don't know, Buddy.
It feels
know.
Very
that
homeristic to say Dort, yeah. But
Tim Hardaway Jr. makes more money than him next year, and
nope.
Is coming off significant injury. Eric Gordon makes $19.5 million, $2 million more.
Nope.
Than Dort. Eric Bledsoe makes $19 million next year.
Nope.
Joe Harris makes 18.6.
Nope.
Evan Fournier makes 18 next year. Steven Adams makes 17.9 next year.
Nope. Yes. I want him back.
Gary Trent makes 17 and a half. That seems like that's the kind of player he is. And Gary Trent just got that deal, you know? Like, this is the kind of money you have to pay for these kind of these players.
And I think the narrative around it, and I don't even know who it is, but some guy that I immediately muted that we follow, no offense to that guy, whoever it was, but somebody started talking about how unworthy Dort is of this, which may be true. Like, there may be some truth to this, but he started using some statistics, VORP, and so VORP. Talking about value over replacement player. And I don't know enough about that statistic to use it with any sort of accuracy, but what I do know is that it's hard to really evaluate Dort's worth on a team that has been intentionally trying to be bad for two out of his 3 years that he was here. Yeah. The 1 year where we were trying to be good in the playoffs, like he showed his value in his rookie year when he was making, I think, $35 and like room and board for a bag of Skittles. You know, like, yeah. He was fantastic when it mattered. And so I think that there's an unfair evaluation of Dort based upon the way this team has performed. And I do think Alex mentioned it in a text thread, and I think he's right about this. I think that Dort does need to play really – like, he needs to be better. He needs to be more engaged on defense. And I do think that he's going to have the opportunity to do that because he's going to have a far lower expectation offensively, not to mention the fact that, like – I don't know, man. I'm pretty excited about what this defense can do, funneling people into Chet and him being able to, Dort being a little more able to focus in on being that kind of ISO guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I do think that there is going to be expectations for him that are a little bit different. But
yeah, he was great at the beginning of the season. Things dropped off. But think about this. Think about Draymond Green the year whenever the Warriors stunk. And Draymond was like one of the only healthy guys on the roster. He was awful. And Steve Kerr like came out and was like, listen, this guy is not going to... He's the worst player to have on a roster that's losing ever. He's terrible. And I'm not saying Lou is like that. I don't think Lou's like that at all. But think about it whenever they are trying to win 50 games or trying to win 60 games. And think about like how locked in these guys are going to be whenever they're competing at that high level. Last year, you look over and you're like, man, we're 20 games below 500. Like, am I going to go out there and just give it everything I've got? I mean, there's got to be like some like mental edge, like at least like shaved off, at least a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
When you're like, man, we're competing for nothing. We're, you know... To me, it's just if the Thunder make the judgment that this guy is worth this much. And by the way, Sam legitimately didn't think this was going to get done in the next few days. The only reason that we're here is because Lou and his people, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that Lou and his people came to Sam and said, okay, let's play ball. Mm-hmm. And this is the number that they landed at. Whereas... I think that, hey, we're going to pick up the option because they're asking for 20 or they're asking for 22. Like, that's what's going on here. And so if he came down to that, it also tells me this, that people are like, well, why didn't they just pick up the option and then they could just extend him afterwards for the 4 for $60? It also just tells me that the 4 for $60 was never, ever going to happen. Mm. And that if that was the deal that was offered... That baby's going to unrestricted free agency, and he is going to Jalen Brunson the Thunder. And he's going to say, you know what? I am worth more than that. I've shown you that in the playoffs. I scored 17 points per game last year whenever you had no one else that could score on the team. I took the volume of threes you wanted me to take. I took the most threes on the team. I defended the best guy on the other team. These are the... And so... I think that there's also just those negotiations going on that we just have no clue about. I'm just like playing these out in a way that makes sense in my head. But those are the kind of things that go on. And I would guarantee you that Sam was waiting for the thing to change. If something changes, we won't pick up the option. The thing to change was Thad and Lou saying, okay, we want to be here long term. We love the franchise. he and Shea are like best friends. You know, they've got the Team Canada stuff going on right now. Let's just keep this together and let's figure out a number that works for both of us.
And going back to a point that you were making earlier, I just have a question. Like, do bad teams have role players? Because Lou, on a good team, Lou's going to be a really valuable role player. He's not going to be a star. He's not going to be like a high volume scorer or shooter. He's going to be what you're talking about, a valuable role player in the playoffs when they're good. And like bad teams don't have role players.
Yeah.
There aren't. What's their role? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no such thing. You can look at players and be like, that guy would be a really good role player on a competing team, on a competitive team. And so that's kind of what you have to think about, too, when you look at Dort's VORP or stats of the last 2 years, is like, you can't look at that. Like, you can watch him play and obviously see this guy's the most value this guy is going to bring in his entire career is probably going to be a really good role player on a competitive team, on a really good team.
And a guy that we know can compete in the playoffs against high-level competition. And you're right. I just think this environment that he's in now, it's hard to show like the true value that he holds to a team. When they're competitive, which I think maybe for small spurts of next year, and then really the following year, the 23-24 season, I think when he's like well into this deal, you're going to see when this team is like, okay, we're going to go for the 4 seed in the 2023-24 season. Like, we want to have home court. Lou against Dort is going to be a huge, huge part of them trying to push for the playoffs, because he competes at such a high level that he's going to help these other guards that they're bringing in to show them like how to compete at an NBA level. I think it's so important. I'm in favor of it. I think if it doesn't work out, let's say that he shoots like 30% from the corners, he's just kind of a mess, they can still trade him. So this, to me, there's just not a lot of downside. I think it's an important deal to me. I've been saying it, like, I think he's part of the fabric of the team. And to just rip him out of that now would feel a little weird. And I think it would feel a little, I don't know, it'd feel like that maybe the tank had gone a little too far, because like you want to acquire these players. Like, you go through, part of going through the process is identifying players like this and bringing them along for the ride, you know? And if you just like, okay, let's scrap him, let's get another, you know, what could you even get for Lou? Like a first, like a future first that's maybe top 10 protected. It's like, gosh, man, that doesn't feel good. So I like it. I like keeping him around. I like that it's a long-term deal. And now the Thunder, if they need a mid-sized contract to trade, great, you have that. And if not, you have a really great point of attack defender that could potentially be a good corner three-point shooter.
Yeah, that's one of the things Penny said in the chat I thought was really helpful. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Having these kind of mid-level contracts in the future for negotiations, you know, help adding pieces when things are rolling.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm excited. I think it's a good deal. I think that, and it also signals that, hey guys, you know what? We're building a team in Oklahoma City. You know, we're not just building picks. Like, they're actually giving guys contracts that aren't like the highest level guys. It's important. I mean, this is a part of team building. It's like identifying the players that fit and that can stick. And I think Lou's easily one of those guys. And the fact that he's like best friends with your best player, it's kind of a good thing to keep him around too. I think you can.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting.
I didn't know that Lou and Chet were best friends.
Yeah, little did you know.
Lou's real value is just becoming best friends with the newest good player.
You didn't know that Lou and Usman Jang were best friends? The best player on the Thunder?
I will say this, is tomorrow night, the Canada basketball team, first yeah. game of Olympic qualifying.
That's right.
So I think they're playing like the Dominican Republic at sometime at 8 p.m. maybe.
Yeah, for all you sickos out there wanting some.
Oh, DR, taste. DR's got some players, dude.
To starve.
DR's got some ballers, dude.
It's been a week since the draft and like a week and a half since the NBA finals finished. And we're just like, okay, how long is the off season?
Yeah, you know? I know. Hey, next Tuesday is the Utah Summer League. That should be really fun. We'll get to see Giddy and Poku and JRE and Wiggins and Trey Mann play. So that should be fun.
I love being a basketball fan. It never, like, your breaks are just enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just long enough where you're like, oh, come on, I want a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then they're there.
I know. They play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. And then I fly out to Vegas next week. And then they play Saturday in Vegas, I believe. It's either Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. And I'll be there live. There's also a chance the L-Man is there live with me. Which I'm quite excited about.
Please, God.
So we'll see. Also, if you're going to be in Vegas, by the way, let us know. If you're listening to the show, if you're going to be in Vegas, let me know. We're going to do some Athletic NBA shows live on the concourse. So I'd love to be able to meet you guys and for you guys to be able to come watch our shows live there. So be ready for that. The Thunder picked up Isaiah Roby's contract yesterday. And declined Mike Muscala. I think a lot of people would... we have a visitor here. I think a lot of people would think... What's up, Al?
What's up?
Oh, yes. He's got the Torture Chamber shirt on for all those that are watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube. We're getting close to 3,000 subscribers. Love to have those subs. We'd love to have those subs.
That's a lot of subs.
Yeah, help us out, everybody. That's a lot of subs. Let's get there.
Just hit that. Just hit that subscribe button right down there.
Hit that subscribe button and just.
Hey, Andrew, what do you think about that song? Became kind of a little thing on Twitter.
It had a little moment on Twitter. I have watched that music video now 3 or 4 times in the last like 4 days because of Twitter. It's enjoyable. I like it. I actually went and listened to some more Alien Ant Farm songs because I had that CD.
Yeah, I remember you had the actual. Bought the full album.
I did. There's some decent songs on there. Some really really bad ones, but there's some like decent some decent tunes on that.
The most embarrassing album that I purchased, real quick, while you think about that, because back in the day, like pre Spotify, pre iTunes, if you wanted one song on an album, you bought the whole album.
Yeah,
and I fell for it with Smash Mouth and bought the album with Walking on the Sun. Oh man,
not good.
I don't think you fell for anything there.
Not one single song outside of that one that I enjoyed.
We all fell for lots of them. I fell for Chumbawamba. You know?
Yeah, I spent $20 on Chumbawamba.
Yeah, I got Chumbawamba.
Do you guys remember this song? It was like, come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Yeah, of course.
What are you Who talking doesn't? About?
Okay, that was a band.
Why are you acting like that's a song Aqua. That no one knows?
I had that CD. I had that CD.
Yeah. Wow.
Fell for it.
Good. Good job. Al, Dort thoughts. We're about to move on from the Dort thoughts, but give us your Dort thoughts before.
Yeah, I heard what you guys said. I'm fine with it.
Nothing to add.
I'm just waiting to see what the final details are. Because I do think it's interesting. Like Spotrac has it up there as a fifth-year player option. And like the caliber of player that gets 5 years and a player option on the fifth year is a little different.
That
and
to so me that's why feels inaccurate. That feels wrong.
It feels inaccurate. Yeah. And so I'm not going to say anything about it because it's just like, I just want to have that confirmed by anyone else other than it just appearing on a website. Because it just does that. The caliber of player who gets that type of deal is a little bit different than like
Lou Dort.
No offense to Lou Dort.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something agree. Feels a little weird. But other than that, like whatever.
I agree.
What if it's.
What do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, if it's 40 million next year and then 40 the year after and then 7 spread out over 3
years. Wow.
Whoa.
So front loaded. That's a deal.
Front loaded.
So that was going to be my question because on Spotrac, again, we don't know if it's real or not, but it has it as ascending. And I was just wondering what would be the benefit of that as opposed to be descending since like they have more room this upcoming year, right?
Yeah.
Most of them, most contracts are, most contracts are ascending.
Yeah.
So it's maybe up, maybe that was just like, we don't know if that's the deal, but if that's true, then it's like, that's like their preference.
So what details, so what details would come out that would make you feel a little more, not, I think we're all okay with it. It didn't bother us,
it's
but it's
fine. It's fine.
Outside
of it doesn't bother me. It's more just like, it doesn't feel like a Presti deal. Like when it came out.
Oh,
like,
I guess Grape Ape said that Spotrac removed that.
Oh, very interesting. So, interesting. Yeah, so like if it was a team option on the fifth year, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense to me. Or if like there were any like incentives in, and that one I'm less, like whatever. I just want to know if there's any incentives.
Yeah.
It's not like that's going to
like all
change my opinion.
That if there is an option, it's going to be a team option. It's not going to be a player option. If I mean
that's just the way
it's going to be. If that's the case, it's going to be a team and not a player. Like player options go to players the caliber of like LeBron James, you know.
Yeah.
Even Shea could have like demanded a player option. Didn't get one, by the way. Like Shea didn't get a player option. You think that Dort's going to get a player option? Like there ain't no way that he's getting a player option.
That's very interesting they removed that.
Yeah, they may have heard from somebody. Who knows?
Oh yeah, now they just have it as it's just purple like the other years.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, okay.
It may be a straight five, but we'll see. Okay, Mike Muscala deal declined last night. To me, I don't know what they're going to do with him. If I were to guess, I would guess that he's coming back to OKC on a long-term minimum deal.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that almost pushed me over the edge, Andrew. I almost became anti-tank.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
I saw that news.
I think this is probably just a, hey, let me get some security. Let me get some long-term security. That would be my guess. He truly loves it here. I would guess.
You think he invested too much in crypto?
he had moose coin.
He has so many moose coins.
Too much.
They're tanking.
Yeah. No, I just think that he wants to be here, and I would be surprised if he went somewhere else. I just don't. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to stay. Just judging from the way that he's acted in the past. You know, it would have made way more sense for him to go somewhere else, even 2 years ago. Just be like, hey, yeah, it's been great. Please trade me to somewhere where I can be helpful. But I think he loves it here. So I would be surprised. And I think that, you know, they picked up Roby's deal. They're just going to carry everybody until October, I would guess. Or until maybe if a trade came along or something like that happens, they'll do a deal then. However, I would guess that they'll carry 20 guys until then, and it'll be fine. But I think Mike will be one of them.
Because today was supposed to be the day they had to decide on Teo. We haven't officially heard anything there, right?
No, I would just guess that options for younger guys like that would just be picked up. And then my guess is that they just will have to make another decision later on. I just don't think that they don't have to. And even Sam said it. At exit interviews, like if they have to eat a contract, they'll do it. You know, they're gonna have to at some point. And if Teo's the guy, great. So Black White says that Teo's contract got guaranteed yesterday. I don't know, I didn't see that. But I could have definitely missed it because of,
oh my god, Spotrac deleted that too.
According to Spotrac, Maledon's contract was fully guaranteed
for 15
for the 2023-22-23 deal. Yeah, that may be accurate. And if that's accurate, they could still cut him. So I wouldn't say that like, oh, they picked up Roby's option. Great. Roby's going to have a chance to compete for the starting position. Like, no, there's still a pretty good chance that Roby's gone.
So, before training. So let's get to the biggest unanswered question for the Thunder for free agency. When are we going to get an unprotected first for Vasily Micic, Andrew?
That's right. Hmm. Maybe next year.
I will never give up this dream.
Let's kick the can down the road another year.
Yeah. I want to be talking about Micic in like 2030.
You know what? His PR team is pretty good, though.
Yeah, they are. They're keeping him in the news.
Yeah.
He's never played an NBA game, and I'm very familiar with him.
I know.
I've seen a lot about that name.
Yeah, his name was getting pretty hot there around the draft, right?
Oh, so hot.
So hot.
I mean, Jake Fisher was dropping little nugs about him.
I know.
Oh, dropping little nugs. I haven't been drinking enough water lately. I've been dropping little nugs for about 3 days now.
It could still happen. I mean, I guess it could still happen. But I guess honestly, like, Micic is a guy that you would wait until everybody's got their point guards. Like, Washington was a destination that we had talked about. Now they've signed several. They've got several guys now. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see when the dust settles if there is still a point guard destination that maybe he would like to go to.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go to wherever Kevin Durant goes to. Who knows?
Whoa, there's some news.
Man, so I was on my way home from the Home Depot as I purchased lots of things for my yard and saw the news, and I immediately called Alex. And Alex knows this. I rarely curse. And I had to open up my conversation with Alex with just expletives.
What's your favorite curse? Your favorite curse.
We'll save that for Down to Dunk After Dark.
I try not to curse on Twitter, but that one I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Like, this is deserving.
It was...
What'd you say?
It was... insane. I still cannot believe that happened. I mean, I had to do an emergency podcast for The Athletic. It's up on the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show feed. You can go listen to that now. But man, Kevin Durant has demanded a trade. And Alex and I were talking because we're planning for Slam and Jam. And we were going to have a Nets guest on after all, like, the Kyrie stuff was going on. Like, oh, Kyrie might sign with the Lakers for $6 million. Like, that's going to be crazy. And didn't, and then he picked up his option. I was like, oh man, now the Nets are boring. Suddenly they're not boring at all.
Also, like, Nets fans are about to be very boring again, though. When Durant leaves and when Kyrie eventually is not there, it's like, who cares about the Nets anymore? Yeah. So you don't need them on your podcast anyway.
See, the reason why I want to have them on, though, is because I almost feel like for those fans, like, what did they actually get out of these last 3 years? Like, is there some, like, optimism just to move on from all that and just watch a normal team for a little while?
I know one.
Go ahead.
Durant was only a toe on a 3-point line from possibly winning a series. There you go.
You think that was the highlight of the KD experience in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
For those
Durant
fans?
Clipped his toenails is the is what we got going on.
If he just wore a smaller shoe size.
Easy.
Come on, sacrifice for the team.
He would have just chopped his toes off at halftime. Wouldn't have been dealing with all this. Yeah.
It's been less than like 10 hours already. I'm already exhausted about the Kevin Durant talk.
Like, oh, get ready, baby. It's going to heat up. It's just starting. This is just the beginning.
I was telling Andrew, I don't know, did either one of you, anybody else watch the ESPN NBA free agent? It was so bad. And they didn't talk one bit about anybody that signed. The whole conversation was about Kevin Durant. Like, Perk and Richard Jefferson were like fighting about something really stupid, and they kept bringing up. And Windhorst, man, Wendy, geez Louise, he can't help it. He just can't help it. But he's just like, now I shouldn't. And he stopped live on air. He just stopped and he goes, I'm trying to think about what to say.
He's the key.
He loves doing that stuff.
And then he said, if the Lakers would be interested, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie wanted to come for like a Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis swap, is basically what he kind of inferred. I was like, and so of course it went down this like 30-minute stupid conversation about the Lakers being possible players for, and it was just like,
why would the Nets
so
do that?
Bad.
It's bad. It's really bad. John Hollinger just tweeted 7 minutes ago, the Thunder have 70 minutes left to use their $23 million in cap space.
So, or else what?
Or else it's gone.
They fold the franchise.
Moving it's back over. To Seattle. Yeah. So yeah. Clock's ticking.
So I was looking over all the deals. I was getting in the deal zone myself.
Yeah.
For Kevin Durant. And the team, because all the reports are that they want to remain competitive. Right? Like, no one's saying that they're going to accept a picks-based package. Yeah. The goal is to remain competitive because they don't own any of their future picks, so there's really no incentive to be bad.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the Clippers, man. Because the Clippers have more mid-sized, like, rotation players than any other team in the league.
Yeah.
And they have Paul George.
They do.
And what team is realistically going to offer a player better than Paul George?
You think they would
he's
do
better
it?
Than DeAndre Ayton. He's better than any of these other players of people. He's better than Tyler Hero. And I just wonder, because the Clippers would be the one team that would allow them to get rid of some of their rotation players like Joe Harris and actually bring back guys who could play.
Yeah.
Like Norm Powell or whoever it is.
What about Booker?
You can't do Booker.
It's the same thing with Bam Adebayo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same with Bam. Now, if they trade Ben Simmons,
yeah,
then they could do it. But it's like so complicated.
It's such a weird rule to me. But
I don't know this rule.
You can't trade for a player that has been given a max deal on their rookie extension.
Okay.
But so you traded for both of them.
You can't trade for
it's
two.
Another. Isn't it an incentive to try to keep teams in their original markets? Is that kind of what it is? Is that the purpose of it? Or is it just to make things more complicated?
It just makes
And this is why, in case you haven't heard, this is why SGA can't be included in the deal. It's the same reason.
Yeah.
Because he falls under this as well. Same with Bam. Same with Devin Booker. There's actually a bunch of like really good players that the Nets might want.
Yeah.
That are exempt or they just can't be part of it. And meanwhile, like, even if they wanted to trade Ben Simmons to acquire one of these guys, like, what are you getting for Ben Simmons at this point?
Nothing.
And so that's why I think, like, those guys are out.
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of realistic all-stars, because the report right now is that they want two all-stars, which, good luck. Like, well, what teams have two all-stars, first of all?
Right.
Like, the return is never. Paul George is right there.
The return is never as good as it should be for guys. Like, you just can't. Like, even with Anthony Davis, which is, like, apparently the haul that everybody gets compared to, you still were trading young assets that were somewhat unknown at that point, right? Like, Ingram, Lonzo Ball? Was Randall a part of that?
Josh Hart,
and then, you know, obviously a bunch of picks. But none of those guys were – number one, AD is not the level of Kevin Durant, but number two, none of those guys were all-star level. So you're ultimately going to be disappointed or have to just kind of concede like, hey, we're going to have to be more pick heavy in this, which the Nets need to recoup any draft capital they can, since they've given away their future to the Rockets, which sucks for Thunder fans to watch these guys fall apart, watch the Nets fall apart and the Rockets just get undeserved glory. But it's one of those things where there's no way it can be. I do think that Paul George, I would really feel real bad for Paul George, but that does actually make sense.
Like, he actually fits with Ben Simmons a lot more than DeAndre Ayton. Like, doesn't DeAndre Ayton present the same issues that Ben Simmons had in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, except even worse because Ayton doesn't stretch the floor at all? Like, at least Embiid shoots threes.
Yeah. I think Aiden will eventually shoot threes too. So I don't know. I wouldn't worry about that. Would you trade Darius Bazley, Jermichael Green, and a first round pick for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I guess. Why would the Nets?
So they could trade for Devin Booker.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they had it, I'd probably.
That's how it works.
more than that. I mean, just even if you like don't love Ben Simmons long term, like that's a guy you could theoretically rehab his value very quickly.
Oh yeah,
if he comes into the season healthy. Although all the concerns about too many ball handlers. Well, good luck.
Yeah, you could put a sick lineup out with if like theoretically with him.
I think they would definitely have a top 10 defense.
Oh my gosh, it'd be incredible. Ben
Simmons would be your starting power forward.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to be.
Where would you want Durant to end up for just talking about fun?
Yeah.
Cuz like thinking about Durant in Phoenix for some reason, like
I don't like
visualizing it. Durant in a Suns jersey sounds fun to me.
Fun. Oh, sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah, just fun. Don't be serious. It sounds fun. No contract, none of that extra stuff. It's fun.
Portland
would be fun. Dame and KD, fun.
Portland would be actually the one, just because the fans here would just go insane. I mean,
it'd be awesome like that.
Yeah,
and you know, like maybe I'm crazy for thinking this but Portland with Dame staying with the franchise, doing the things that, you know, endear him to people like me, apparently. I do think it'd be something where it'd be some good fortune for a franchise that has not always had the most good fortune.
Yeah.
But they cannot trade for him because they just signed Anthony Simons, and so he's not eligible.
Yeah. Alex, leave it.
Throw that out the window.
Leave that out of this conversation.
What about
Anthony? Oh, yeah. You'd have to move Anthony Simons or Ben Simmons. Okay, I got it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't matter. Fun.
No, it's not that. It's just that because he was just signed. I think you have to wait till
fun
until December 15th or whatever. Okay.
Sorry, Taylor. Sorry. Fun. The
what
Kings.
About Milwaukee Bucks? What about Chris Middleton and an unprotected 2028 first round pick?
Hey, you gotta be more than that.
I know. That's the thing.
Fun, like, Alex. Can you have fun?
Giannis and KD all be insane. Giannis.
Most of the good teams don't have draft capital.
I know. That's the thing is that they have
the Clippers
all been
don't have any draft.
I know they've been bled dry by like the stars that they've acquired. How do you get enough for Kevin Durant? That's the thing. It's like not only Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant on a 4-year contract. How do you get enough for him? Because there's not been a player his caliber on the trade market, maybe ever, like this. Because who was the last like great player to be traded like this? I mean, like Paul George may have been like the last like really good player to be traded like this that didn't have it wasn't free agency.
Yeah, because AD had 1 year left. Harden had a couple years left when he went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's kind of one.
Yeah, I guess Harden is kind of one. But
he's
not Kevin Durant, though. He's
not this level.
He is still just a rung below what Kevin is. Like, who was the last player that was the caliber of Kevin to be traded?
Shaq.
I mean, Shaq is probably it, but even Shaq to the Heat, I mean, that did shift. I mean, it shifted the league pretty significantly, but man.
And Shaq from Orlando to LA was the,
yeah, but that was a free agency signing.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
And there's so many like almost right. Like almost with Kobe.
Yeah.
Almost with Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Cargill said Kawhi, but Kawhi had 1 year left of his contract.
Yeah.
That's the game changer. Now it is, and somebody else mentioned this. It's Grape Ape. He said that it's Electric Caveman. Nope. Somebody said it. I don't know who it was, but they said it is from 34 from 34 to 38 years old for Kevin Durant, who's coming off an Achilles tear, which I think the theory is that his age will, it was Grape Ape. His game will age well. Because he's not as dependent upon his athleticism as he is his just incredible ability to score. But
okay, can I just throw out a Clippers trade to you guys? You just tell me what you think. Just for fun.
Right.
Hey, for fun.
Yep.
Taylor.
All right.
For fun, okay. Taylor.
Okay.
And remember,
it's for fun.
They what they want is to remain competitive.
Okay.
Are you going to be more competitive than this? Kevin Durant and Joe Harris, this works by the way. I ran it. For Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Norm Powell, Terrence Mann, and Brandon Boston.
Hmm.
That's interesting. I would want picks. you know, I'd have to.
They
have,
can give. They can give their 2029 probably or
unprotected.
Unprotected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take Brandon Boston out of that deal. Come on, dude. He's so young.
Yeah. I mean, that's that is definitely interesting. Paul George is one of the best players that can get out there on the market. However, he's injured all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't.
So
I don't,
here's a fun question. Would, if you were the Clippers, would you rather have KD and Paul George or KD and Kawhi? Like, couldn't you trade Kawhi to the Nets as part of that deal?
If they know that they're both healthy right now, it's like not a question. Like, you trade Paul George. If there's anything weird with Kawhi, then it becomes more of a question.
Yeah.
I think there's also a part, though, for me where it's just like Paul George has – he was the one that played in the playoffs and got them – you know, like the 2 years ago. He's the one that kept this whole past season and until he got COVID in the play. Like, he's just been the guy that's actually shown up.
Gosh.
And, you know, and Kawhi's a big weirdo, it feels like. Maybe I'm just assuming that part.
But. Yeah.
How old do you guys think Kawhi is?
29.
He's straight up 30?
He just had his birthday yesterday.
To turn 30?
To turn 31.
Oh, that's too old.
Oh,
if it was 30, that's a different story.
It is. The thing is, it's just so hard to trade Kevin Durant. It's just
it is
really difficult to do it.
But also, if he wants to get traded and you're a team that wants Kevin Durant and you can't do it, you will do insane things.
Yeah. You have to do insane things, but also, are you guaranteed to have a championship level team once they have traded everything that they have to trade to get Kevin Durant? You know what I mean? Like, it's just
that's why the Clippers stand out to me, because they're the only team that has that sort of depth. Like, if they truly don't want picks, obviously if they want picks, you have to go somewhere else. But they're asking for two All-Stars.
I don't know how you do it.
And we all believe that Reggie Jackson should have been an All-Star last year.
Alex, I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Would Reggie Jackson and Ben Simmons being on the same team, would they be best friends?
You could say that with mortal any enemies? Player.
I'm only any player interested in the NBA. I'm interested only in if they'd be best friends or enemies.
Can you guys imagine Isaiah Roby and Ben Simmons on the same team? Like, that is just
so I'm asking could you be friends or enemies?
I think people like Reggie now. Reggie's like a popular guy.
Yeah. I think another team that's interesting is the Nuggets, but if like Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. weren't coming off injuries, I think they'd be way more interesting. If they were healthy and they just had like this run to the West Finals or whatever, and you could get Jokic and Durant on the same team, like that to me that's kind of interesting.
What about the Pelicans?
They're the only team that makes sense in terms of getting a really good player, like all-star level and picks. It's the only team that can really do it.
Who, the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you could do Brandon Ingram. You could do Brandon Ingram and
you could do Ingram. You could do Zion. They've got tons of pieces, and then they can.
You think they would do it? Would you do it for Zion?
Heck yeah!
As the Pelicans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bye. Plus, because that is such a good return for the Nets.
It's a great return for the Nets.
That you probably wouldn't have to give up. Like, it's not like you're going to have to give Zion and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, it could be Zion, I would assume. Future protected first or something.
Does Kevin want to go to the Pelicans, though? Like, that's a huge deal.
It's not up to him. Who cares?
It isn't, but it is.
Why? Why? Everyone keeps saying this. Like, oh, the Nets have to do right by Kevin. Why? What did he do for them?
I know they don't have to, but... We all know at the end of the day that
but
these guys.
Who cares? Like,
I'm not
the
saying
guys,
that they
agents,
should.
Agents the players.
I'm just
care.
Saying
agents
that players care. We know that this is
they,
how it
they
works.
They really
though.
Care about that stuff.
It's this is how it works.
The next free agents who are going to choose Brooklyn are probably like 12 right now. Like, Brooklyn's about to enter like a dark winter. I just don't think they can care about that right now. All they should care about is the future of their own team.
I know.
And the idea that some agent's going to turn them down when they're offering more money than anyone else and they're in the biggest city in the world. That's probably not true. I'm sure there's another city that's big. But, you know, New York City is pretty big.
that's perfect.
Like, I just don't buy it.
Yeah. I hear you.
Hong Kong.
I hear you. Beijing. I just think that he will have a say. Beijing. He will have a say. He will have a
Mexico
say.
Mexico City, maybe?
Mexico City is huge, by the way.
I'm looking
Mexico
it up
City
right
is
now.
Larger than LA and New York City combined. Did you know that?
Okay, what are you guys' votes for biggest city in the world? By the way, New York, not even top 10. Okay, biggest city in the world.
Oh, hold on. It's a city in the Philippines.
Are we talking by land mass? Because Oklahoma City's pretty big if you're talking land mass.
I'm actually talking by population estimates in 2008.
Mexico City's in the top 10.
All right. That is true. All right, they we've got Mexico City. Beijing. We've got Tokyo in the comments.
Beijing. We've got probably somewhere in India.
Okay, number one.
Mumbai.
Actually, Mexico City, number five. I'll do 5-4.
Okay.
To 3, okay. 2-1. Mexico City, 5. Sao Paulo, or it could be Paulo, Banqueiro.
Of course,
number
Sao Paulo.
4 in Brazil. Shanghai, China, number 3. Delhi, India, number 2. Number 1, biggest city in the world.
Drumroll, Taylor.
Oklahoma City! Big League City! No, it's Tokyo.
Tokyo, Japan. Nice.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Just by population.
Somebody got that. Somebody said it over here.
Yeah, congrats to them.
Good job,
whoever
city
that was.
People.
Good job.
Good job, Electric Andy. Caveman and Andy Caveman. Harp. Good job, you two. All right. Let's
Did
take
anything
a,
else
let's,
happen today?
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about other things that happened today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back from that quick break. We have TQs. We're probably not going to answer any of them because there's just so many things happening.
Well, answer one of them.
Just one?
One?
Well, Andrew was about to answer zero. I offer
it's
one.
Zero or
me into the villain.
Zero or 10?
You want to rapid fire some?
Yeah. If there's some ones that you think are
we
good.
Have 43. Okay. Let's see. I'm not prepared for this at all.
Great.
Oh, yeah. J-Mo Rudd wants to know, what are the most mundane ways that you have ever dared to be different? And did it lead us into tomorrow?
I got to say, the way I installed my Bowflex downstairs, where I had to cut a 3-foot by 2-foot hole in my ceiling just to assemble it, and then had to learn how to do drywall. And then after I finish the ceiling, ceiling's done, okay? I'm putting together the last pieces of the Bowflex. And I take the pull-down bar and I put it where it's supposed to sit, and it doesn't go in because I installed the bolts upside down on the top of the Bowflex. And I can't get the bolt out because of the ceiling. So, little pro tip for you. You take a drill and you put the bottom of the bolt in the chuck.
No.
And you turn on the drill and you start spinning the bolt, and you put a hacksaw on the top of the bolt. I cut it right off in 10 minutes.
That's terrible. New bolt. That is terrible.
Yeah, anytime I move, I'm going to have to cut another hole in my ceiling. So there you go.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Any deals that you guys like today? I like Kyle Anderson to the Timberwolves. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Kevin Knox to the Pistons, 2 years, $6 million.
How in the world did Kevin Knox agent get him more than the minimum? That is miraculous.
Honestly, both of those deals with Detroit, the fact that Marvin Bagley got over $10 million a year for 3 years.
What is that? What in the world is that?
I also, it's for me a little bit easier to be like, to talk about the ones that confuse me. Like, I don't super get the Malik Monk to the Kings one.
I mean, so their argument would be our two biggest weaknesses were shooting and defense. Malik Monk, of the available people on the market, aces one of those, does not ace the other one. But he is like about as good of a shooter as Sacramento's going to get.
Yeah.
And I guess if you think like he's not going to start, they'll probably start Davion next to De'Aaron Fox. So maybe it won't be terrible. They're collecting a lot of bad defensive players though. And it's going to be really hard unless they start making a turn here soon.
I know.
Their targets.
Yeah, it's brutal. I think you'd want to target guys that have been in the playoffs. But maybe guys that have been in the playoffs are like, I'm not going to Sacramento.
Now, do you guys have any opinions on the Jalen Brunson New York Knicks acquisition?
I've got some.
I think
that's the most New York Knicks thing to ever happen. And it's the most obvious thing that could have happened this offseason.
Brunson's good. You know, the thing is, like, New York got a good player. It's more so what happens now. Like, what do they do now? That to me is going to matter. And they're probably
not exactly gonna, why.
They're probably
here's,
not going
to Here's,
do
here's
the
my
right
concern.
Things. Yeah.
This was his breakout year.
Yeah.
At age 25. Mm-hmm. And the reason a lot of people were excited about him was because he torched the Utah Jazz.
He did.
We all knew had this fatal flaw, and he was uniquely set up to destroy that defense. As the playoffs went into the later rounds, it wasn't the Jalen Brunson show, and it didn't look as good against much better teams. So I think he's a fine player, and I think it's better to have him than what their other options would have been. Yeah. I'll say that. But I'm not over the moon. I would not be over the moon as a Knicks fan.
It puts you in the middle, if anything, you know. And it's kind of like Taylor said, it's just more of the same from the Knicks.
Do you remember how Knicks fans reacted when they got Kemba Walker?
Yeah, they were pretty.
Do you remember how Knicks fans reacted when they got literally anyone?
Exactly. Jalen Brunson, and you know what? According to some Memphis players on Twitter, they said JB got game, and Ja Morant said game. So. I'm just putting that out there, you know.
Was there a question mark after game, or it was all caps game?
JB got game?
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like what made Jalen Brunson so good in that Utah series? He had like a ton of space because he was surrounded by shooters, Reggie Bullock, like Maxi Kleba. Now he's going to New York where you got like Julius Randle. Isaiah Hartenstein.
Is Hartenstein's like, time with them? I miss that.
I don't think they were going to be able to replicate what made that Dallas Mavericks offense look so good in that series against the Jazz.
I know.
So I just have questions based on that.
Yeah.
He's a real...
The thing is, like,
he's like
just
a super small guard.
Yeah.
He's 6'1", and his best attribute is that he's really good inside. He's a great, like, finisher inside.
He's beefy.
Which is where Julius Randle and Isaiah Hartenstein are going to be.
He's beefy.
And that he's fast, and that's what was different between him and Luka, right? Like, if you're on a team with Luka and you are playing an opponent.
Oh, my God. Breaking news. Breaking news.
What?
Muscala back.
Yep.
Wow.
Woo! There it is.
One
year vet minimum. There you go. I thought so maybe he would want some security, but
so he actually took less money.
I was telling you guys earlier in the show he wants to be here. Obviously pretty bad. If he signed a 1 year vet minimum deal. I even when they declined it yesterday, I was like, he's not going anywhere.
The moose is not loose, says Jay.
The moose is in fact not loose.
Not this Jay.
Yeah.
Different Jay.
Yeah. Not,
could be same Jay.
It's not. I mean, Penny says it's confusing. It's really not confusing. Like, he wants to be
here. Yeah, I'm right here, and that guy's just in the comment section.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to be here. I mean, that's just like, that's the end. And
yeah, maybe people just aren't used to players wanting to be in Oklahoma City, but it's happening a lot recently.
Chet.
Players are loving the vibes.
Moose.
Moose, yeah. That's two. Give us Dort. One more. We Moose, one more.
Lou.
Dort.
Well, yeah, we gave him a lot of money to stay. I mean, I'm sure he does want to be here, but.
Here's a question, though. What would Lou. What
the
would 80 Lou's,
plus million dollars help?
Hey.
What would offers from other teams for Lou look like?
I don't know. That's what I wanted to see. That's why I was kind of excited about restricted free agency, even though I knew they would probably just come to a deal.
Yeah.
But I kind of just wanted to see what his market would be like. And
I think
now
we would have
like,
seen. I think we would have seen next year. I mean, if you think about it, like, let's say Dorian Finney-Smith got to free agency this year. Is he making more money than he's making right now? Does he get $100 million from somebody? Like, maybe. Like, he might. He could get 80. Four years, 80. Like, he's a good player. And I just would wonder, like, would Dort get a similar contract next year if you just played this out? You know, and would... I mean, to me, this is a little bit like trying to give him a deal that makes sense today so that... Like, if Dort has a really good season where he fits in well and he shoots it really well from the corners and defends at the point of attack, and you're like, yeah, this is our best defender, and also a guy that hits 38% from three from the corners on 5 attempts per game, like, that's a player everybody's looking for, you know?
But that's not who he is yet. Like, you just brought up Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, that dude shot 40% from three.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is, like, Dorian accepted a deal that, like, early on that maybe he shouldn't have.
You know? Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like Jay said, I really do want to see more from Dort this year.
Yeah.
I want to see what he looks like in a different role. I don't know how you don't have to buy into the advanced stats, but it is very interesting that a lot of the advanced stats show a precipitous decline in his defensive rating, even while the team has been pretty good defensively, like while all these guys have been on the court. And I just will that bounce up back up next year when he has less of an offensive role? Maybe he won't. I mean, maybe he will still have a large offensive role.
Even also look at last year and how different the lineups were constantly all year. It was like, it's not like Dort was in a lineup with all the best players when they're in competitive games the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, gosh, we have to use what we've seen with him to know that Lou Dort's the best defender on the team. Like, he just is. Mm-hmm. You know?
He won't be next year.
Maybe Chet becomes the best defender on the team. But he's the best guard defender on the team. He's the best perimeter defender on the team. Like, we know that for a fact. Like, don't let these stats from a horrific season in which the Thunder tanked tell you that Lou Dort's not a good defender. I think that stuff is just garbage. That's where you're just looking at stats and you're not, like, using your brain and watching the games and know, like, what we've seen from him in the playoffs when things matter.
But again, that was 3 years ago. Like, I think it's understandable. We were even talking during the season, like, yes, you still see those flashes like him against De'Aaron Fox.
In a losing season, though.
Alex, what shirt are you wearing? Stand up. Stand up.
In a losing season, I just don't buy. I just don't buy that he's still not a good defender. If they didn't think he was a good defender, you think they lock him up?
No, I'm not saying
because that's like his thing. Like that's his.
That he's not a good defender. I'm saying I would like to see him get back to that we all where it was like so obvious. We were talking about it every single game. Oh my gosh, look at Lou Dort. I've never seen a defender like this.
And we talked about this earlier.
I would like him to get back to that.
I think it's because like they weren't competitive. It's hard. It is so hard to be like insanely competitive on a team that's winning nothing. And so I just think that Lou Dort's value will show back up in spades when it's time to win again. Like I think not next year. I think the year after. That's what I think. And we may look, I mean, people may look at the deal next year and be like, man, this deal sucks for Lou Dort. I just think that, again, Lugans Dort is a guy that has competed in the playoffs. We've seen it. And he's become a better player since then, too. Like a lot better player since then. So we'll see. And again, if things don't work out, this is a tradable contract. So I wouldn't be worried about it either way.
I guess that's my question for Alex, and not supposed to be. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm honestly curious.
Sounds like you're attacking me.
Like,
it's like you're attacking.
What are you worried about? What are you worried about with this contract?
Oh, it's not the contract. Like, it's really not the contract. It's just what we've seen from Dort and questions about his fit on the team. Like, that's it. Like, this, the same stuff we've been talking about the entire season. Like, is a guy who shoots, who hasn't been able to shoot above 34% from three, really the best fit next to Giddy, who we don't know if he can shoot, and mm-hmm. Shea, whose shot has been, like, up and down. Like, that's it all goes back to the same thing we've always been talking about.
Yeah. And if look at Marcus Smart. Like, Marcus Smart comes off the bench for the Celtics.
Right.
And it still plays a really valuable role. If that ends up being what Lou is...
But the difference is that Marcus Smart is a really solid playmaker. Lou Dort has a negative assist to turnover ratio. Like,
but he doesn't have. But he doesn't have to do that for the Thunder. He has to do that for the Celtics because the Celtics have nobody. The Thunder have almost too many guys.
But we're talking about Marcus Smart. Like, I just don't like that comparison.
The depoy, though, like that's what his value is not as an offensive playmaker. Let's make that clear. Like,
okay,
that's
good.
Not where he makes his money.
To Marcus Smart.
We don't have to. We can keep doing it because his value. He's the depoy. That's the value that he brings to a team. And I think that from the guard position, it's important to be able to defend at a point of attack, especially in the playoffs.
It is. But if that player.
Is this a good time for me to bring up that I think Jay Will should move into the starting lineup?
No, it's not
Jay. Jay Will? The Razorback?
No, J Dub.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, I just think like Andrew, like we talked about this all season. Like we talked about our concerns with Dort. So yeah. Why would those concerns just suddenly evaporate now that he's making a ton of money?
I'm not saying that they evaporate. I'm saying that he can be a valuable player whether he's coming off the bench or if he's playing for the team. I'm just saying I've seen him play in the playoffs. I think he's going to be a top eight contributor on this team if they keep him. And I feel comfortable with that. That's what I'm saying. We've seen it. Yeah. He competed on that team where there were a lot of players competing for minutes. And he was like in the closing five, chosen by Billy Donovan as a rookie that had played half a season with the Blue. And now
I've always agreed with that, like as him as like the fifth starter.
That's
but then
great.
I saw like
yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah, that's,
I saw
that's
I saw
I'm saying.
Somebody on Twitter. It was Clemente. He brought him up. We were talking about the deal in reference to him being a fifth starter, and he was getting roasted
Charter.
Alive.
I'm not saying
fifth
that he's
starter.
Taylor. That's
I'm
the
saying
only thing he grabbed.
I mean, I just said a top eight contributor is what I said.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just like, I think it's okay for me to not be like all the way in on Dort and still have a lot of questions. Because what did we just talk about with this draft coming out of it? Like all of these guys who can like play make and ball handle. I don't think that's Lu Dort. Like Lu Dort doesn't fit that mold.
He doesn't, but he has displayed a specific skill that I think is needed in the playoffs.
He does, and he's going to get 30-plus minutes per game this year, I would assume.
Yeah, no, I mean,
this is a pretty big commitment to him. So now we're talking about like 120 minutes, which is half of the available minutes between Shea, Giddey, Dort, and Chet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I don't know how you develop all these other guards with three guys locked into 30 minutes.
It's going to be a challenge. Without a doubt, because you think about Trey Mann as a guy that I think it's forgotten about whenever we talk about like this rotation, especially since we've gotten all these new players. It's going to be a challenge to play all of them. It will. And that's why I think, because I've already started to hear rumblings about J-Dub playing like the three and the four and like all these different positions. And I think...
Rumblings? You think he could be the fourth starter?
He could be the fourth starter. I don't think he's the fourth starter, but I do think that he's a guy that will come off the bench and play a variety of roles.
I just think like if you have one second, if you have those concerns about Giddey shooting,
mm-hmm.
and
it's
then
fry pod,
sorry,
Alex.
This is a Wednesday pod, guys.
No, it's a Wednesday pod. Shut up, Taylor. Chet, we talked about how like some people are worried about his shooting specifically in the half court.
Yeah,
and then if like JRE is starting, we're still worried about his shot. He hasn't shot above. Whatever, 34%.
Here's the thing. You're talking about fits. And like, this team isn't ready for a fit yet. If they will have to make a
We're ready for shits. We're talking charters tonight, boys.
They're going to have to make fit decisions next summer. Right now it's about, okay, how do we keep all of our assets? I think giving Dort the contract that he's got and maintain that asset, great.
Right.
You just bring in players that you like. This team isn't done. Like this isn't a team that's ready to compete. This isn't a team that's done. It's a group of players that I think the franchise likes. Do they fit together? Not really. I think you have to figure out who can really play first and then figure out what's going to complement those guys? What do we need back? You know, those questions aren't answered yet. We're not there yet. Yes, they need more shooting, of course. And I think if you ask Sam, like, what do you need? I think that he would say, yeah, we need more shooting. But, like, we're not there yet. We're not ready to put the finishing touch on this roster yet. And that's part of, like, why you have all these picks is that you can use them to go get shooting if you have to. And maybe they draft, like, a generational shooter in this next draft. Who knows? I don't know. But, yes, the shooting question has to be answered. It has to be answered.
And by the way, that it could be answered by us watching Giddey next week and all of a sudden he's like draining threes.
It could be.
Or Lou comes back and he's draining threes, not just from the corner. And or maybe he is just shooting corner threes.
If Lou just shoots the corner three like he has the rest of his career, he's a 40% three-point shooter from the corner. So
yes, he takes very few of those.
I know, but I'm just...
above the breakthroughs.
I know, but he's done it every year. I know. I'm
aware. I believe in the corner threes. Like I'm right there with you.
So... And to me, that's the role because the guys that are at the top of the key are the guys that are handling, driving. I just think that you have to remove him from that role. He's not a great player in that role, but I think that he's a guy that can be a star in his role. I don't know who coined that. Was that Doc Rivers that coined that? Whoever coined that, I think he could do that. I think he could be a star in his role where he plays in the league for a long time. I mean, PJ Tucker just got 20 million for the next 2 years, you know, and he's really old and really wasn't that good. And
he's
like,
seriously, what, 37?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's
that is wild. And you're worried about Dort at 17, Alex?
You have gotten your point across perfectly to Taylor, Alex. I can tell you that. All right, we gotta go. Thanks so much for listening.
One more Twitter question. One more Twitter question.
Congrats to Mike Muscala. I'm glad that he's back.
Hey, congrats to us.
I can't wait because there's so much space for guys to just be on this team. Keep bringing them all back. Who's next? What's the word on Teo? He's coming back too.
They're all back.
What if they refused to trim like, the roster?
You to get tell down us to 15.
You think we need, we're going to have more than 15. Tell us we can't.
They dress them up as the coaches and like bring them in on the second row of benches.
What do they do? What would the league do? You can't play?
I don't know. Like if you had a suit that had snap buttons on the side.
Yeah.
And Muscala just stood up and ripped it off, went out on the court. What are they going to do? They can't stop the game.
Player coach.
Here's a real thought. What if the way the Thunder are doing their summer league, where only half their guys are going to Salt Lake City and then half of their guys are going to Vegas, is the mm-hmm. way they plan on playing this season? So half of the team will play 41 games.
A team, B team?
And then the other A team, B team.
Oh, like you could have a travel team and a home team.
There it is.
Dude, they basically did this last year by having like, okay, these 10 guys are injured right now, so actually we can't play these guys.
But you could just do it from the beginning. Like, all right, so Giddy's going to be the B team leader. Shea will be the A team leader.
Andrew, would you rather be an all-home basketball player or all-road game basketball player? You get to see the sights. You get to travel the country,
yeah,
or you get to stay home, sleep in your bed every night.
Home.
This game is home. Called Normal easy. Or Kyrie?
Home is easy.
Okay, but that's easy because you have children. What if you were a single man?
If I was a single guy, road, millionaire, easily. Road. It'd be so fun. I've made millions of dollars. I could go on the road and eat at these.
In
these
eat BJ streets. Beef jerky on the road.
Eat some BJ beef jerky when I'm going on the road. Okay, well, last question. Alex_BowlerJack wants to know, what is your favorite video game console of all time?
64.
Super Nintendo.
I mean, the one I have the fondest memories for is the Dreamcast, because my parents didn't let me have video games growing up until I could pay for them.
Yeah.
And when I finally got enough money, it just so happened to line up with the release of the Dreamcast.
Because you played Ready to Rumble, didn't you?
Yeah, I played Ready to Rumble. I mean, NFL 2K5.
Yeah, I was about to say the 2Ks, I feel like, originated.
That's when like 2K was good.
Yeah.
It was like a very exciting time.
We did
time.
The NFL game all the time.
It had
time.
The VMU that was a second screen in the controller. It was just it was a very forward-thinking console. And it was the first console to have online connectivity.
Mm.
Where you could play online.
Tayshaun?
So there you go.
Mine's PSP.
PSP.
Ooh, PlayStation Portable.
I had a PSP. You could also play online on the PSP. That was the first handheld console.
Yes, you could.
That you could play online. And there was only one spot in my parents' house that I could actually connect online and play Call of Duty, I think it was. And I had to sit on the countertop in my parents' bathroom. I had to sit on it. That was the only place in my entire house that the PSP connected enough.
I remember once me and Andrew being at a college party in Stillwater and sitting outside of the party playing each other on our PSPs, playing NBA.
Yeah. We used to do that in history class, too, in high school.
Great console.
Yeah, that's great.
We used to play in history class our calculators.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you have Block that man? Like, drug dealing game?
Drug Wars, yeah, or whatever it was.
58008.
Nope.
All right.
You guys have a great night. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We appreciate you guys. We will talk to you guys again on Monday.